The name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Backs your program, Treasures. We are in the Gospel of St. John, commenting on chapter 11. You all know the story of Lazarus, and the Lord did not come on time according to the request of Martha and Mariam, but he came late and he was buried, and now it was the fourth day after his death. So the girls was, you know, like complaining and blaming the Lord that he was late, and they expected him to come earlier, and now there is nothing to be done. So Jesus said, verse 23, Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." You know, Martha and Mariam knew from the sermons, they listened to many sermons given by the Lord, that resurrection at the last day. But they couldn't believe that their brother could, you know, live again at the same time on that day. So Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? So adding to the belief of the resurrection at the last day, actually resurrection is not related much to the time. It's related more to the Lord himself. He is the source of life. He is the source of resurrection. He is the resurrection. So whenever he is there, life can be given again. So he said it this way, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Yes, that's what we believe in. That as far as we believe in Christ, being the source of life, now we will never die. We may sleep one day, but sleeping means that we will rise again. We will be awakened. So we are not afraid of death anymore. We are not scared to be killed or to die, because the source of life is in our heart. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord himself, is inside our heart. And we also take the communion, eating the bread of life, the blood of the Lord himself, you know, will give us eternal life. So we believe that death is not related to us anymore, because we believe in him, we stick to him, so we are not liable to die anymore. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ." Maybe she couldn't believe the details, but she believed in him as the Christ, as the Messiah. But you know, because of the sadness she had, and she was very much depressed, losing her brother, she couldn't, you know, have hope at that time. "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. So Martha felt so much better after meeting the Lord, although Lazarus is still there in the tomb. But you know, she felt hope. She felt empowered with faith again. So she ran away to call her sister Mary. The Lord came. And because both of them loved the Lord so much, they felt secured with the presence of the Lord. So Mary ran to him quickly to see him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town. He was coming to the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Nobody imagined that the Lord is coming and maybe life will come again and the miracle will happen. Nobody expected this to happen. Everyone was like feeling, you know, sorrow for the girls. And when she just arose quickly and ran to see the Lord, they felt like she is running toward the tomb, and many of them followed her. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So again, she's saying the same sentence given by Martha, because that was their feeling. The feeling stayed in their heart for like 4 days. Why didn't he come? He could save him. And they, expected him as the friend of the family to save him. But they, was very much frustrated. So she said it this way. She is going, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Why the Lord himself was troubled? Simply because this weeping attitude means that all people are weak in front of death. Nobody could imagine that the Lord himself can conquer death, can give life again. That's very far away from their minds. They believed in him as the Lord of miracles. He can make miracles, he can heal sickness, and that's it. But believing in the power of life, believing the eternal life, that wasn't in their mind. So he was troubled because of this sorrow feeling everywhere, the weeping attitude of everyone. And he said, where have you led him? That's a very important question, because this means that he will move toward the tomb. And what does this mean? Maybe just to weep there or to do something more than this, nobody could know the mind of the Lord at that minute. But he asked them, where have you led him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. When Jesus wept, everybody imagined that was his friend, and he is like sharing the feelings, and he is also weak in front of death. Nothing to be done now. But they did not imagine that he is weeping, not just like feeling sad for Lazarus, but maybe he is weeping for the all human beings, because they die, because they, they are very weak in front of death. So Jesus wept. Also, he wept like sharing the girls, because they were weeping all the time. And to respect the feeling, he shared in this. And that's important for even any servant of us. He should share the feeling of people. We cannot say, just because we believe in eternity and we believe in life after death, there is no time for sorrow, there is no feeling of losing anybody. No, we have to respect the feelings of people. But, with the hope in eternity, we can overcome this sorrow feeling. And some of them said, couldn't this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Again, they speak with little faith, little trust in Christ, that he could just heal him, save him before dying, but nothing to be done after this. And because they all knew the important miracle of opening the eyes of the born blind man, they, related this to the story. He could do anything for any sick man. So why didn't he come and save his friend? Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was the cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. When he ordered them to take away the stone, it's not easy for anyone to see a corpse after like 4 days. And that's not expected by the Jew people. And let me remind you, that was forbidden for the Jew people according to the law of Moses to touch any dead body or to come even close to this dead body. And the day of the death of anyone, that is like a day of sin. And they have to do many purification rituals in order to, wash away this day. So how can he ask for taking away the stone? Like he will enter the tomb or he will touch the corpus. So Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. So Martha, we used to see her like the logic girl, the one who thinks more than she feels. Maybe Mary is the woman of feeling, but Martha is the woman of thinking. So rapidly enough, she expressed what she thought of, like saying, there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Sometimes we do not understand what's God doing. Sometimes we want to tell the Lord, that's not reasonable, that's not logic. Sometimes we think more than we believe. But actually, when we think more, the Lord answered, please pray more, believe more, don't think much, let me think it my way, but you need to pray, you need to believe. So did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. You know, that's very good, obedience from the disciples, because that was not expected by anyone, but they believed in him, they obeyed the order, and they moved the stone. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. So he started praying. And everyone expected that he will pray for Lazarus or for the girls or for a miracle to happen. But he started his praying saying, Father, thank you. Thank you for death. Thank you for this tomb. Thank you for this occasion that everyone is down now, feeling bad, feeling sad. Why you are thanking God? So the Lord is teaching us how to thank God in all conditions. And because now we have power over death, we believe in life after death, we may thank him even before death. Before the minute of death, we need to thank him. I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. He was considering the people standing and all looking up to him. What would you do? You cannot do anything against death. It's not your field anymore. You could save him before dying, but now it's the end of the story. So because of these people standing to see what will happen against death, he prayed to show us that the power of life in the Father is the same in the Son. The Father sent his Son to give life to everyone, to give eternity to all believers. So that's the main reason of his coming. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. It was a great minute that they saw the dead man moving up and coming out of the tomb, walking with his grave clothes and, a bound hand and foot, but he is like trying to walk toward the Lord himself. And when he called him Lazarus, you know, imagine Lazarus is dead. How come any dead man can listen to any word? But calling him with his name from the mouth of the Lord himself, yes, even dead people will know their names, will listen carefully to the voice of God. You know, this scenario happened to Lazarus. It will happen to all of us. With the end of the days, in the day of resurrection, you know, we all will be named by the mouth of the Lord. And we will all live again because he will give us this order. Lazarus, come forth. And having this new life, eternal life, that's the day we wait for. He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. With this loud voice, he proved to be the real God, the one who can give life again, the Creator, the Pantocrator, the Almighty God, the one who came to save man and to give real life again to all dead people. Lazarus came forth, and he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. When you study the story, you can see that there was a role done by the Lord, which nobody can share in, the order of life, giving a new life. But there was another role done by people. They took away the stone, and now it's their time to loose Lazarus and let him go. So the church has some part to do. The people of the church, the priests and the servants, they should take away the stone, move the stone, and also help people to be loosened, to let them go. But the power of resurrection, the power of life, is totally related to the grace of God. And that's the synergism between the Lord working with the church people. In order to save anyone, you have to do some part. But the major part, the greatest part, is done by the Lord himself. We cannot save ourselves, we cannot save others. But by the hand of God, with the power of life given by the Lord himself, with the commandment, with the order of the voice of the Lord, and with our poor hands, we can enjoy the new life. So the church has to take away the stone, to move things, to change, you know, the minds of the people, the mindset, in order to help them to believe in Christ. But the power of life is not given by any man, only by God. But working together with God is the source of salvation, the source of eternal life. Glory to God. Amen.